to call. You and I are both getting like a slow start, I feel like.
First of all, it's Sunday morning at 8:45. I have the entire house of people here in the Hamptons. And okay.
What were you up to last night?
Let's not even get into what I was up to last night, but let's just say that I didn't go to the gym this morning, which never, ever happens, no matter what. No matter what. But wow, here we are.
Behind that velvet rope coffee mug is working overtime today, y'all.
You know, I mean, some days it's like, if I just talked about everything going on in my own life, it might be more interesting than what's going on in the Bravo world this week. But, you know, let's not go there because we might bore everyone as well. So, oh my God. So I'm going to wake up. I'm going to have the coffee. You and I both have a different background here. I'm in a different room in this little place. And, where do you want to start? There's so much updates. Yeah, go on.
I mean, I kind of feel like, cause it was pretty viral. I feel like the Erica Jane getting served with the $50 million lawsuit papers in the airport when she came back from Hawaii with Diana Jenkins, with Rinna. I mean, it was
A week or two ago, everybody. So just, yes, we're talking about it now. It was crazy, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is to my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I know our fabulous audience that knows everybody, you know, knows the Bravo world as well as we do, if not better. I think this is the first time Erica has really been alleged in a lawsuit to have committed a crime, because, you know, this is like deep. I've been reading the actual papers, you know, the lawsuit papers and everything of what they're accusing Erica and Tom of. You know, of basically pretending to be a man that is alive and his widow. And in fact, this guy like is saying that Bank of America helped cover this up, Merrill Lynch. This guy even says that he emailed the head of Merrill Lynch 104 times to tell him that Erica and Tom were posing as him, defrauding him. And the guy never responded. It never got anywhere. And for years, they were paying like their electrical bill out of his account, credit cards out of his account, like millions and millions of dollars. I mean, this is, again, it's alleged, but I'm like, wow, this to me is the first like super detailed lawsuit.
It's also, I am so confused. I am so confused. Like, I mean, at one point I was like, oh, this makes sense because like, it's, you know, alleged that like there's a victim that Tom is working with. So the person's dead. So he's choosing someone that he knows is dead because he's, you know, he knows it because he's the lawyer. Right. And she's dressing as the widow, but the person being alive, I don't understand. Did they roll the dice and say, these are our five rich friends and we're just going to impersonate this one? Like, how do you impersonate a live person? It's so complicated. But the point is,
it's very complicated. And the headline reads, you know, new case alleges Bank of America, Merrill Lynch aided and abetted Real Housewife Tom and Erica Girardi's massive fraud scheme in posing as a victim's father and widow to steal 20. I mean, if this is even true, up to $27 billion. No, that can't be billion. It has to be million, I believe. No,
were these billion?
Billion. Because they attach themselves to Sovereign Towers Settlement, which is like a development company. I mean, it is wild.
I mean, the thing is, like, if it's all these things are so not true, why Erica? Why does this keep, like, it's the same claim of, like, you somehow got money, you know, allegedly that wasn't yours. It's so strange. I mean, you have to say this video is just so like she's there and then no makeup and the woman's like, I mean, she eventually takes it. Like, I don't know what happens. What happens if you just, I mean, I'm a lawyer. I guess I should know. What happens if you just walk away from a process server and say, no? I mean, at this point, I think if someone says, Erica, you know, she just don't assume it's a fan, just to say, especially when they're holding all those documents. I don't know. What happens if you just walk away?
Well, wait a minute. But Erica ends up taking the documents, right? So she was served, and you know, she didn't accept them inside the airport, but she goes out of the airport while they're going to, you know, at LAX while they're going to get car service or whatever. And she takes the papers. So she is served. I mean, I don't know. You know, I guess I am a huge, I'm a ride or die. Like, I love Erica so much.
Oh, I know, because the complaints, the weeks, this week's complaints about you, Sarah, are that you stand for Erica way too hard. And learn that Ava Marcel is Eva Marcel, that Layla Kent is Lala Kent.
Oh yes,
and Caroline Stanberry is Caroline, and they are literally, this person is disgusted with your mere existence.
She actually gave me, I think, a 1-star review.
Me too. Honey, she gave me the same thing. And it's titled Eva, Not Ava. That's the title of the review. And she's like, the fact that you won't even learn the person's name is so insulting.
I know. Wait.
Listen, I'm not making this shit up. And by the way, thank you all for the great reviews that you all leave. So there we are.
One star review on my podcast. Eek. Spent the episode talking about Lala Kent and can't even get her name right, calls her Layla. Stick to what you know, girl. 1 star. Anyway.
Well,
you know what? Look, I have to say, I don't know. I feel like this case could be the Jen Shah moment for our girl, Erica Jane. I mean, they allege in this lawsuit, Erica fraudulently posed as a fabricated Erica White who perpetrated to be the wife and widow of plaintiff Nicholas Phipps White, chairman and CEO of the Hollywood Land Development Company in California. Bank of America Merrill Lynch aided and abetted Erica by accepting, among other forged documents, illegitimate and unrecorded letters of probate, granting her control of the administrative of the Merrill Lynch global consumer account. Former U.S. Secretary of State and U.S. Senator John Kerry served as BOA's Global Advisory Council Chairman, which included Bank of America's Brian Moynihan, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So the Girardi scheme, aided and abetted by BOA, was intentionally done in order to conceal the $27 billion sovereign tower settlement and to prevent the plaintiff, Nicholas Phipps White, who is the legitimate owner of the account, to not have any access to even $1 of his account, while the defendants allowed
Erica
and others to unlawfully spend from the plaintiff's global account.
Listen, I just, you know, it like it raises just I don't know. I don't even know.
No, you're an attorney. Like, I mean, this is alleging that Merrill Lynch issued more than 25 unauthorized Visa debit cards to Erica Girardi herself from the plaintiff's global account for a vast network of friends, political operatives, and associates of the Democratic political fundraiser Tom Girardi and his wife Erica to illicitly use. Previously, Bank of America had allowed fraudulent money transfers from the plaintiff's Merrill Lynch account to the vast network of friends and political operatives, blah, blah, blah. I mean, David.
Could you imagine just like living your life and buying Cartier and Gucci and flying and just knowing that this is not your money? I don't know. Listen, allegedly, who knows how it's going to play out, but Erica is just, I mean, I don't know. She puts on such a, you know, how are you living, basically? Like, I don't know. I'm like at a loss for words. Like, she just puts on such a hard front, but girl, this shit's mounting. The shit is mounting. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's
not going away.
Yeah, correct. And to me, if this is true, this is the first thing I think that's directly tied her to completely, again, allegedly, knowing that she was defrauding someone, because this guy is alive who's supposed to be able to have access to his account. But Tom and Erica have swooped in. They have all access. The bank never stops them. To me, this is probably, like, if this all comes together, is her Jen Shah moment, you know?
And I mean, it raises, like, we now have Bank of America and Merrill Lynch, like heads are going to roll. I mean, this is like, right. I mean, who's at these companies giving these credit cards and all that? I mean, there's a lot that could happen here. By the way, we have another lawsuit that to discuss, which we've discussed before, but you know, things are, it's Jed Shaw's guilty, and we're going to have a sentence soon, right? Like,
did you read all the new details coming out about that too?
What do you got for me? Tell me.
Oh my God. Well, that's good too. I mean, we're getting kind of more details about the scheme, you know, because one of the big things is she targeted people over the age of 55, where essentially it was kind of like an investment. Well, they set it up like, hey, this is an investment thing where like, if you give us $3,000, we'll give you $6,000 back. Right. So of course, none of that ever came to fruition. But the biggest thing too, that Jen has pled guilty now to doing, is like, she would find these older people, she would defraud some of them, but some of them who would even say no or whatever, she would still already have all their information, a lot of their information, emails, home address, phone numbers. So she would sell that to another party, knowing that that other party could be using it to scam them.
Right. Or, like, the person said no to her and she's like, okay, well, you can try again. Keep trying. Right.
And even if these people asked her not to share their information, she just was selling it anyway.
It was like buying like customer acquisition lists, so to speak, like that.
Yeah. And you know, the other, okay, wait, sorry to interrupt you. One more thing. And then I want all your thoughts. You know, the other big thing is Sharif. We kind of now know Coach, her husband. He reportedly makes $555,000 a year from Reality Blurb for coaching and all the bonuses that go with it.
I almost believe like a coach makes something like in the twos, and you know, it was so with bonuses. I that doesn't shock me ish.
You know, he's reportedly going to be potentially on the hook because they have to pay back over $6 million. And, you know, Shaw was now.
And then, right. There was like the $6 million that they made, I guess. And then the $9 million.
Mm-hmm.
In like restitution. So, right. So I guess from my reading of that is like, they made $6.5 million from doing this. That's what I think.
I know. She's been at it since 2012. So long before the TV show, she was doing this.
Mind you, I even think I see things in their life. I mean, again, it's none of my business. I love talking about this in ratings. Apparently I even see things in their life where I'm like, I don't even know how you're living like this on $6.5 million. It's not that much money. I know you can roll your eyes, but you have kids. And I mean, you know, all that Gucci and just, I mean, you know, it's a nice chunk of change. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, if that's what you made and that's what you have, it's like, all right, so live like a nice high life. But even that, you know, she's that house and this and that. Oh my God.
And don't you think they must be so financially in debt? Like, they were probably so financially in debt to start with, then the attorney fees, now the $9 million. I mean, don't you feel like, I mean, they must be, I would think, working to declare bankruptcy. I mean, how, she doesn't have any, I mean, I guess, you know, Sharif makes good money. To me though, it's funny because I almost see it the opposite. I'm like, okay, girl, you and your husband were making $555,000 a year. That is more than like 80% of the entire country makes usually with a combined household income. I mean,
I even think like maybe 90% of the country.
I think you're correct. So it's like, God, you could still be having, you know, a really nice condo in Salt Lake City. You know, you could have still been probably driving a Benz. I mean, I guess now yes. The stakes are so high on these housewife shows that is like not impressive to anybody.
It's not impressive, but it's like, to your point, you were living this life before Housewives. Like, you're not doing this to keep up with Meredith Marks. I mean, you just wanted this life. I mean, so there you go. You know, and I mean, again, look, it's, I think part of why she, well, I think there's a lot of reasons why she changed her plea to guilty. Cause I always have said, when the feds knock on your door, you're basically guilty. I mean, you know, but not all the time, but you know, mostly they're not just knocking. And so they dropped one of the charges. They left the charge of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. And they took out the money laundering. So I read this to be, what I read, the most she can get now is 14 years. I think before it was 30 years with the two charges. But I think personally, I mean, so I think that's a big reason why you plead guilty, because you want 14 versus 30, because it could have been 30. You're rolling the dice. You are rolling the dice. You could have gotten zero, but you could get 30. So I think that's part of why she pleads guilty. And I think it's when she says, I don't want to drag my family into it. I mean, why aren't we talking like we are with Erica? I mean, did Erica know? Did Coach Shaw know? And I think that would have started to be a whole thing at trial. I mean, it would have. And so I think the exposure to maybe the kids and the husband and who knew what would have started. And who knows? Then they're going to turn around and charge other people. So, I mean, you know, possibly. So I just think this is, you know, she's guilty. But, you know, and it's like now Coach Shaw, there's no more. Did he know or not? He's out of this. That's part of this plea. Like there's no mention of Coach Shaw or the kids or anything. And it's just like, it could be 14 years. So, I mean, girl, you were going to probably lose at trial. That's the bottom line. I'm going to say it again. I don't think you win really when the feds knock on your door. Yeah, you get like a reduced sentence and blah, blah, blah. But right. You don't just say I'm innocent to Andy Cohen in the world. And here's the trial. Jen Shaw's found innocent. We wish her the best of luck in life. It doesn't end that way.
Are you trying to lose weight and keep it off for good? If you were like me, I have done every fad diet under the sun, and I started dieting when I was just 12 years old. I gained and lost 150 pounds from the ages of 12 to 28 when I finally got off the yo-yo dieting train. Well, if I had known of Dr. Applin and MyOptimalBody.com, my life would have been a lot easier, and I would have resolved my weight issues without doing drugs like Ozempic. Fine if you're on them, but if they're not working for you or you don't want to try them, MyOptimalBody.com has incredible success rates. Go to their website, check out their reviews, and see people who have had lasting weight loss change. Visit MyOptimalBody.com to request an appointment. Be sure to let them know that the Sarah Fraser Show sent you so you can qualify for a free personalized assessment plus a free 30-day supply of their gut repair product when you sign up for their customized plan. Again, that's MyOptimalBody.com. To request an appointment. Go there now and let me know what you think. I'm on a customer service kick right now. Customer service means so much to me. And Uplift Desk has a 4.9 Google rating on their customer service and thousands of five-star reviews. Oh my God, sign me up. Actually, I already own their stuff, so I'm here. Go to upliftdesk.com and use the promo code TSFS right now to save 5% off your entire order. This company is so customer service based. You can do everything by customizing the color, the type of top material you want for your desk. Schman has their standing desk, and I have their ergonomic Invoke chair, which I love. My foot pain has gone away. My back pain has gone away from using their products. Go and check them out. If you've never heard of them, you're about to fall in love. Go to upliftdesk.com and use the promo code TSFS for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com to get 5% off your entire order with the promo code TSFS. Are you trying to conceive? Have you tried a lot of things? Don't know a reliable supplement to take? Well, I'm introducing you to EU Natural. It's spelled EU Natural. They're on Amazon, and they have a conception for her formula and a conception for him, which, by the way, has over 23,000 five-star reviews on Amazon, and now I'm taking it. Very easy to take because, you know, sometimes multivitamins are tough. Well, this one is awesome, has a great vanilla flavor. I take it with food. And right now, when you go to Amazon and you buy any EU Natural product or their bundle, put in the code FRASER20, get 20% off. I'm so excited for you guys to be on this journey with me to conceive, and this can give you the extra boost that you need. So order right now. Check out EU Natural on Amazon and use code FRASER20 to get 20% off their conception bundle or your entire order. That's EU Natural on Amazon, or follow the link on our website for 20% off the conception bundle with the promo code FRASER, FRASER20, FRASER20.
Well, you know what I always think with people too, when people are doing things that, and I have no idea if this is true, but it's just a theory. I just think, you know, she started this scheme, we now know, in 2012, right? So she wasn't even on the show till what, 2019, maybe? So I always think too, you know, you go along for so many years, you don't get caught. So you probably just convince yourself like, hell, it's going great. You know, nobody knows we're living this grand life. So why not go on television? Because everything is, you know, that's always to me where the disconnect or delusion is for people, because I don't know, you know, did you just think it was going along so well for so long, you weren't going to get caught?
Yes. I think the mind of a white collar criminal is like, you feel you're not going to get caught. And it's the arrogance and it's the ego. And like, you really think you're smarter than people. And I think it's a lot of like, you don't think you're necessarily doing anything wrong. I think it's a whole combination. But then I think when the world is coming, because I believe like you have these setbacks throughout your criminal career where it's like, shit, they are coming. And then they don't. Do you know what I mean? Like say in like 2013, she's like, shit. And then for 5 days, you're basically on the toilet shitting because you're so fucking nervous. And then they don't come. And you're like, oh, shit.
Okay. I got away.
Right. And then it's like a year later. So then a year later, you have another week of like such stress and it's like they don't come. So I believe it's like arrogance, you know, that like they're not going to come. I think it's your mind starts to really think it's not that bad. Like I'm not killing anyone. You know, it's not that bad. I think you really start to convince yourself. And then I really think you start to think like, they're not coming. And even when they are going to come and then they don't, and you get over it and you can breathe again, it's like, okay, well, every year I'm just going to have a little bit of a drama for 3 weeks. And look, I'm making, you know, $7 million. That's what I think. And so I just think you really start to think like when the world is closing in, but it doesn't, it's just another day I got away with it. I really do think that. I think that's the mind. I mean, in my own research as a lawyer, that's the mentality of a white collar criminal. I think it's very similar for all of them. Tom, Jen Shaw, we could go down the list. Yep.
I always wonder what that moment is, you know, because for what we know, right, with like Tom Girardi, he was such a respected attorney for so long. I just always wonder what the tipping point, like, what is the one day that they decide, you know what, today's the day I'm going to just start, I'll just steal 2 million, you know, like, you know, and maybe I'll pay it back. Maybe they start with the intention of, I just need a little bit of a loan. I'll pay it back. And then, I don't know, I'm always, because, you know, for all accounts that we know, Tom was this upstanding LA lawyer and like this well-respected person for so, I mean, you know, and
yeah, I mean, and you think about it, like he won the cases. So he's a brilliant lawyer. Like the actual lawyering skills are brilliant, right? Like he won these cases. It's not like that was a fraud. I mean, there's no, so it's like, it's just like, man, right. You were winning these cases. Like what a career. And just to write, just to say that that's not enough. Like, right. Like you won the Aaron Brockovich, you won these big cases, your life again. Right. We're not in both cases. We're not talking the either situation where someone is literally on food stamps, you know, desperate people do desperate things. Like I need a dollar to eat. Neither case is like that. It's like your life could have been just so big and grand and more than I think even 95% of the way the world lives in both cases, really. It's just what a crazy, so it's going to be interesting. And she's going to be sentenced. And I mean, this isn't Teresa. So, I mean, I just wonder where this is going to fall in terms of like RHOSLC is basically done, but they kind of work that in. I think this is going to be where they add in the filming. Like I assume the day she's sentenced, they're going to be waiting outside the court. They're going to be adding in little clips, but I don't think Jen Shaw is coming to season 4, everybody. I mean, we have to air season 3. Like, I just think this is it. I think we have one more season of Jen Shaw and the cast will be changing. Which is crazy.
I know. Well, I did read that in several blogs that, you know, people are tweeting at Bravo, you know, are you filming her? Are you filming her? Hurrying up and follow and do season 4. We want to see like all the reaction. We want to see everything. So I think you're right. There's probably going to be snippets of that. But then after that, she's going to be gone. And I think it's very interesting this week. Part of me thinks that the Erica thing, because it was so detailed, and this is the first time I think they've really pinned down something illegal that she may have done. I kind of wonder that too. You know, I wonder a year from now, if we mark this podcast episode, you know, is Erica done? Is this like her Jen Shaw moment and she's done? I mean, it's kind of wild. It's just, you know, and I think for me, there's, as a fan of these shows, there's just always a part of me, you know, I get like, I love the glam lifestyle too. And you kind of,
me too, baby.
You love, like you get attached to an Erica Jane, like how she came on the scene and she was so different than Beverly Hills. And she was just this empowering woman. And it's so disappointing. You're like, really? I wanted to believe this was all real, but it's just, I don't know, you know, and you know, this now that we're in the entertainment business and have been for so long, I really feel that the audience doesn't realize how fake everything is. Everything is, all these people, it's just so staged, like how much money they have and, you know,
it's so staged.
It's so fake. The fights are fake. The drama's fake. You know, the money's fake. The body.
What about the people that go and rent houses for filming? You know, there's rumors of that in the OC. There's rumors of that in your good old Potomac. I mean, you know, like that where it's like,
it's not even rumor. I mean, we know Karen Huger. I mean, Karen Huger doesn't own a house. You know, she rents. I think there was something where she is looking to buy her home in Potomac or whatever, but you know, Karen's rented for years now on that show,
which I'm even okay with that. It's like more that than go and buy a house that, you know, your mortgage is due and you're like, fuck this, I just don't want to pay. I mean, like, but it's just, you know, when they rent it like to film for like the 4 months and they're like,
yeah,
you know, they pretend like Karen's pretty honest about it at least, you know what I mean? Where, but it's like, you know, look at our home. Well, sweetie, you just rented that home for 3 months. And yeah, that was a lot of money, but like, it's, that's not your house. You just needed to film for the damn show. So, and that's not Bravo. That's not Bravo saying go rent a good house. It's like you in your fifth year of wanting to, it's so. And listen,
well, I think, don't you feel like now the pressure is from Bravo? I mean, are they going to keep on somebody? We're all average, you know, so are they going to keep on somebody that just has an average looking home? Maybe the one, because Bethany Frankel kind of started that, you know, she was in that little one bedroom or whatever, you know, maybe one person, but the entire cast can't, you know, they
know, need- although we do have that with Emily, Gina, I think all of Potomac, more or less. I mean, no offense, Potomac. I mean, Monique had lots of money with that big house. I mean, can't they have, Candace has a big house. I don't know.
Interesting. Like, but
I also have to say that, you know, the other day I was wondering, this is a question that I have for you and the audience as I was listening. I'm like, to us, which I don't listen back to this podcast, God help me, love all of you for listening. But I was like, man, like, have I become a fucking internet troll? Like, are we trolls? Are we sitting here just like blah, blah, negative on everything in life? Are we fucking trolls, Sarah?
Are we? Do we? Maybe I need to listen back. I feel like are we that negative?
I don't think so, but I hope not, because I'm a happy person and I really wish everybody well. We're taking a critical, we're calling people out. We're just being honest about, let's just have an honest conversation. I could name other Bravo podcasts right now. I could make enemies and name the ones that are just fluff and full of fucking shit. We're just being honest, right?
Well, I have to say, I don't feel that we are internet trolls, because
thank you.
People are putting themselves on TV, which, by the way, and if I haven't said it, I'll say it here. I'm grateful for every single person that puts themselves on reality TV, because you are opening yourself up to just constant scrutiny. And thank you for doing that, because it's truly entertainment for all of us to escape all the other troubles in our lives and the world. So like, I'm with you. I love every single person that I really do. I mean, I have hot takes on people, but I think that kind of goes with the territory. And hopefully now that we're 20 plus years into reality TV, anyone that puts themselves on TV, I hope is like, I don't care what people say. And truly, if you're not doing anything illegal, you know, whatever.
I agree with that. And before we move on from that, I will say that, you know, and this is where I have to say this, you know, this is what makes me say that like I'm a fucking internet troll, is like, just being honest before we move on, you know, knowing most of these people, like some of them are just, I mean, if you have to say what percentage, I don't know, but like some of these housewives are just not good people, just at your core, like, you know, and it's just, I don't know if it's like an archetype, if casting is so good at their job, it just.
Well, I think you have to be a narcissist to put yourself on TV to some degree. You know what I mean? And look, I mean, I'm narcissistic. I have narcissistic ways. I mean, look, like I would be on reality TV if I didn't go to bed at 9 and got up at 5, you know, I mean, there's not much exciting to follow, you know, but like I'm in the entertainment business. Like I want to host a show for TLC. Like I would do a Jerry Springer talk show. Like I love all that. So, I mean, part of me is a narcissist. Like I can relate to these people completely. But I think it's great. Like, I don't care sometimes if they're good people or not. They're entertainment. And
right. I guess that's a question. Like, do they have to be good people for us to be entertained? No,
I mean, it's your choice if you want to associate with them, like like in real life. You know, I mean, I think you and I have this always ongoing crisis where a lot of people that come on my show, reality guests, I like a lot as people off the podcast, but then you develop a friendship with them and then they expect a level of loyalty, like don't have her on, you know,
Hello. Why do you think 2 weeks ago we talked about Kelly Dodd being mad at me, you know, for something Bronwyn said. And I mean, yes, 24/7, like last night when I was out, which led to my evening of debauchery, and I was at the bar and like this friend, this guy was like, blah, blah, blah. And what do you mean there's housewives that like, don't like you? I'm like, what? Like, let's go down the list of like, you know, one day we should play a game of like, you know, when you and I do our live show events, we should play a game of like, put up a housewife picture. Does this person hate David or not? Let's take a guess. Margaret Josephs. Okay. Let's start with an easy one. No, she loves David. They're friends. Okay. Let's go to another one. There's a lot that hate me. And it's like, I mean, I go back to what you and I said, like, I'm doing my job. I have nothing against anyone, but I'm not going to hold back being honest with this audience. I will not do it. So I like my duty, like, wait, let me break this down. My duty should be to you over myself in this audience. Are you fucking smoking crack? Because with your, it's so arrogant every time it happens. It is so fucking arrogant. Like, right? Yeah. Like, you would piss on me and let my head get run over by a car if all you had to do was reach your arm out and just pull me out of the way of that moving van. You wouldn't do it because it would break your nail. 100%, that is the case. Everyone's like, this is why I don't really want to go to housewife parties and things. Like, these are not your friends, and I don't need them as friends. There's a few rare organic exceptions. I don't need to be friends with any of the others. I really don't. Come on my show, and I love you, or don't, and I fucking hate you. But regardless of that, one day we'll talk about all the ones that hate me.
One day.